please bow with me as I pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your precious word. And Lord God, it would be a weighty task to preach it if it weren't for your Spirit, Lord God. And I'm just trusting that it's your Spirit not just working in me, but working in every heart here, Lord God. And help us to absorb it. Help us to even go further and integrate it into our lives so that, Lord God, all those blessings that were talked about in that passage just now, that we would be truly crowned with your joy and filled with your Spirit overflowing. Please, God, let it be. In Jesus' name, amen. So, yeah, maybe I need to keep that bat handy. Yeah, Mike, you talked about me kicking you. So Abby whispered to me after that. She goes, you don't have to kick him now. So got him with a ball. You know, we're still in Advent. Now, you need to understand, Advent is not Christmas, okay? So, you know, and that's why even some of the songs that we sing, it's not the Christmas songs necessarily. It's Advent songs. Advent is that voice crying from the wilderness. And like the hymn, O Holy Night says, long lay the world in sin and error pining. It's pining means just longing, groaning, crying out to God. And so it's actually this time of emotional muck. And just kind of the ugliness of it. And that recognition, it really is a time of lament, Advent is, in the Christmas, in the Christian tradition. And so, you know, that's why we start out with the desert song. And we sang out that call from the desert. And yet, even in the midst of it, there is joy. And joy can be powerful. And I was trying to find a definition for joy, and just nothing satisfied me. The dictionary definition just doesn't get there. The emotion of great delight or happiness caused by something exceptionally good or satisfying. Keen pleasure, elation. And that's just not, doesn't even come close. All due respect, Mr. Webster, but I'll take a shot at it, okay? And because it was after the printing of the bulletin, I came up with this. I asked Josh if he would put it up there, but it's joy is a deep-seated emotion in one's soul. It's not in the heart. It goes deeper than the heart. It's in the soul, which is born of God. So this is not something that we can produce. We can't pull ourselves up by our bootstraps here. It is born of God, sustained by his Spirit. So we need to be connected to the Spirit, walking with the Spirit, in the Spirit, if we are to sustain that joy, and nourished by faith. Joy is born of faith, too. It lords over the lesser emotions of the heart. That's what I was trying to, you know, talk about with the kids. It lords over the lesser emotions of the heart and is a co-regent. In other words, it co-reigns with it. It's a leader with peace and hope and love, because where you have joy, you also have peace, you have hope, you have love. So that's the way I would define joy. But most importantly, I mean, it's deep-seated in the soul. It goes so much further than what I would call the lesser emotions, sadness or anger or fear or anxiety, even much greater than happiness, certainly, excitement or things like that. But it is definitely of God. So as I went through the scriptures, and I just, you know, BibleGateway.com put in the word search joy, and there came up like 225 passages. And that's just joy, you know, that's not even counting rejoicing. And I didn't even go there. I'm like, suffice 225 passages to look up, okay? So just went through there and trying to extract as best as I could, okay, in the context throughout the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, what is joy about? You know, what is the essence of joy? So, yes, I know, 10 points to it. Oh, my gosh, that's a lot of points and everything. Okay, so, but I wanted to give you best as I could, you know, the full picture, what joy is, the substance of joy. Okay, so first of all, it comes from God's presence. And so as we are in God's presence, one of the offspring, one of the things born out of being in God's presence is his joy. As we come into God's presence and we connect with him, we get his joy. And so oftentimes when you need joy, seek his presence, seek his presence. Your face, Lord, will I seek, says the psalmist. In his presence we find joy. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. That famous passage, Galatians 5, 22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. But in other words, it is born of God. This, again, this isn't a human thing. This truly is from God. And it's God in us, his Spirit in us, that then produces this joy. I'll talk a little bit later about how powerful that joy is. You know, because it is from God, it can absolutely lord over and reign and dominate those lesser emotions when they come at us, and they will. And it is based in his unfailing love and in his salvation. And I love Psalm 13. I just love that psalm. It's a psalm of lament. But verse 5 says, "But I trust in your unfailing love. I rejoice in your salvation." And you got to understand, too, it's not like, oh, happy days, going to, you know, rejoice in your unfailing love. If you read Psalm 13, the first four verses right before that, he's just spitting mad at God. I mean, he's shaking his fist at God, you know. I mean, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? And he, you know, and but this psalm of lament, even anger, but then all of a sudden, as he comes into God's presence and as the Spirit is just all of a sudden magnified in him, in the psalmist, joy bursts on the scene and calmness, peace, and he's able to say, but I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. So his unfailing love, so that even in the midst of the worst, but I mean the worst that the life can throw at you, anybody can throw at you, even the devil, the worst the devil can throw at you, boom, all of a sudden joy comes and can absolutely dominate. And it's joy. It's your unfailing love. Even in the midst of this, I know your love will never fail me. You will never leave me nor forsake me. I know that. And your salvation? I know. Come what may, the worst. Compared to what? Because of God's salvation? I mean, whatever happens in this life, I've got an eternal life with God up in heaven that, as Paul would say, so far outweighs any of these temporary sufferings. This glorious existence that we're going to have because of that salvation. Yeah, bring it on. Bring it on. I got joy that is unshakable. Joy in his unfailing love and his salvation. It's a product of righteousness. Now, this is something I want to go a little deeper on because, you know, a lot of people talk about Jesus wants to have a relationship with you, a personal relationship with you. Yes, he does. But he also wants to have a right relationship with you. Well, you know, God, I just am so thankful that you're willing to wash my sins away. I'm ready to. Afterwards, I'm just going to go right back to the pigsty and go right back to the sins, but thank you for cleansing me. What? And the New Testament writers, and I'm not talking Old Testament here, I'm talking New Testament writers would say that is ludicrous. Paul, read in Romans 6, if you read it, you know, because there were a lot of people in that day, and the apostles and a lot of the gospel writers are fighting against the Gnostics, and the Gnostics were trying to say, hey, you know, you got your physical side, your spiritual side. Your spiritual side is saved, you know, and so the physical doesn't matter anymore. So you can sin on your physical side. That's okay because your spirit's fine. They're going, what? And that's exactly, basically, Paul's expression in Romans verse 1. What? Should we go on sinning so that grace would only increase? Heavens, no. And we need to understand about sin. Sin's the very thing that enslaves you. It's like we're the Israelites. It's kind of like, hey, God, thanks for taking us out of Egypt. And all of a sudden we get out in the wilderness and I don't like this thing about trusting you. Can we just go back to Egypt? What? The sin is what enslaved you. Why mess with it? No. God wants us to walk in a right relationship with him. And the product of walking rightly with God is joy, among other things, and peace, and confidence, and hope, and grace, and blessings. And here's the thing. Some people might want to contest this, but it's those who walk in a right relationship with God that enjoy all that. Those who walk in disobedience, those blessings and those promises of God are either greatly weakened or outright canceled. How can you say that? Read James. And James would say, faith without works? What? That faith is dead. That is not faith. It's a lie. And even the Apostle John, 1 John chapter 2, read it about verses 3, 4, 5, 6, something like that. And he says, you know, it's the one who walks in obedience with Christ. Otherwise, you're a liar. And so if we walk rightly with God, we will have that joy. But if we are walking in disobedience, if we are continuing in sin, and then wondering, why is it I don't feel joy? Hello? Honestly? So, if I was trying to tell the kids, if we walk with Jesus and walk in obedience, joy will be there, and it will be there powerfully. And the closer our walk is, if here it is, if we press in our relationship with God, and I want to urge you and myself to press in our relationship with God, get so tight with God that we can literally be saturated with His Spirit, dripping with His Spirit, overflowing, therefore, with His joy, His peace, His love, His blessings. Press in. Press in. Yeah, but there's so many things. I mean, you know, especially at Christmas time, I'm so busy. It's your life. It's your life. All right? Press in. Walk rightly with Him. It's a result of righteousness. It's a result of God's restoration. I love that verse that comes from Psalm 30:11. You turned my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth. Sackcloth is a sign of grief and of repentance. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy. And so when God restores us, there's joy, because sometimes life does beat us down. It does. I mean, to the greatest saint. In fact, some of the saints, you read their writings, oh, read Jeremiah, his book of Lamentations, that prophet, they dubbed him, they named him the weeping prophet. Now, I mean, the things he had to go through, the suffering he had to go through, and yet there was joy. And when we are restored, there is joy. And my wife and I were talking about last night, she had some great insight. She said, the thing is, when he restores you, it doesn't mean that everything goes back to the way it was. Do you hear that? When he restores you, it doesn't mean that, boom, oh, everything goes back to normal, the way it was. No. But he does restore us. He restores our soul, redeeming the situation, redeeming the things, bringing all the good out of it. And here's the beautiful thing that happens when you break through that wall, whatever that wall is, the wall of suffering, the wall of sin, the wall of doubt, the wall of addiction, the wall of whatever, and you break through and you get there into grace, you will experience grace like you've never experienced it before, and your whole life will change. You will be restored, but things will be different, but they will be different in a deeper and better way, and your experience of joy will be deeper and richer than you've ever experienced it before when God restores you. Joy is a product of God's Word. So I think many of us have experienced that. We can just be distraught. We can be just neck deep and just barely breathing, you know, barely gasping for air, and all of a sudden something in the word, it could come across the radio station in a song or somebody says something, or all of a sudden scripture is spoken to us, and it's like a balm, B-A-L-M. It's like an anointing, healing anointing, and it just pours over us and transforms us. And all of a sudden, we find peace. We find hope. We find faith. We find joy. God's word produces that joy in us. And so we should be in the word. If we can stay in the word, it would be like having this IV drip, just this constant dripping of joy, peace, blessings, grace, joy, peace, love. Why not? Why not?
Because I don't have time, Pastor.
Oh, wow. Hey, and I've been there. I know. I'm just a little busy sometimes, too. I know. You only work one day a week, Pastor. Yeah. I know. And I know sometimes it's hard. But like I was saying last week, you know, if we're really to experience God's peace, but I mean, come on, really experience His joy, really experience His love, it comes from that close connection, that tightness, that intimacy with God and the saturation of the Spirit. If we are to get there, many things need to change. And certainly, our calendar, our schedule needs to change so that we block off time for God and for our relationship with God. That's how we're going to get there. All right? Joy, it's a result of His protection. When I was a missionary, I remember down in Columbia, South America, not Columbia, Missouri. And this text became very precious to me. It was Psalm 5, verses 11 and 12, and I've got it printed there. Literally, I mean, when you're walking in some real hot zones, like, you know, military people would look at you and go, "Are you insane? You doing in Medellin, Colombia? You're walking the streets of Medellin, Colombia alone. You don't even have a sidearm. You don't have..." Yeah. "But let all those who take refuge in Thee rejoice. Let them ever sing for joy. And do Thou defend them, that those who love Thy name may exalt in Thee. For Thou dost bless the righteous, O Lord. Thou dost cover them with favor as with a shield." When I got a hold of that verse, and I'm literally walking around in Columbia, knowing, and I'm just claiming that verse, I'm walking around with His favor covering me with, as with a shield, and right like it says, rejoicing. Even walking with a bit of a swagger. Really. His protection, and just knowing it, it just brings such joy. So that, I mean, even in the most dangerous places you could ever be, and I've tested God in this, and He's there. He's your bodyguard. And with that protection, you have joy. It's the result of answered prayer. Oh, is this a promise or what? John 16:24, another one to memorize. And Jesus just told His disciples, "Until now, you have not asked for anything in My name. Ask, and it will be given you, and your joy will be complete." Ooh, and your joy will be complete. Is that an amazing invitation? Until now, you've not asked for anything in My name. Ask, and it will be given to you. Are you kidding, Jesus? Like that? For those who are walking rightly with God? Okay, yeah. I mean, in fact, if you press in, if you have this relationship with Him so intimate and you get into prayer, it really is amazing that through prayer, the answers that will come, the things that He will do, the blessings that will come because you prayed, don't you think you're going to have a little bit of joy because of that? Yeah. So answered prayer brings us joy. And finally, in the midst of persecution, we have joy. Oh, now, wait a second. Ooh, that's That sounds stupid. I mean, in the midst of persecution, what? Remember? In the midst of the Beatitudes, Matthew 5, Jesus is saying, hey, blessed are you when people revile you because of my name, when people persecute you in my name. You know, I mean, the idea is, and it happened to the disciples too, when they're beating you in my name, when they're throwing you into prison in my name, when they are killing you in my name, blessed are you. Rejoice and be glad. What? Because great is your reward in heaven. First of all, because your eyes, and I believe the Holy Spirit will do that. And in fact, if you read in the Book of the Martyrs, if you read in the modern Book of the Martyrs called Jesus Freaks, the Voice of the Martyrs published this, two volumes, amazing stories, actual stories throughout the history of Christendom of so many of the martyrs all the way up to the 20th century. Martyrs, martyr after martyr, you read these stories and you're just amazed. So many of them going to their deaths rejoicing, singing, filled with joy. What? That's like not humanly possible. Exactly. Because it's not human, this joy. It is God. It is from God. And God inside of you will produce that joy so that even in the midst, even when death is in the room, as Paul would say, you can mock death. Death, where is your victory? Death, where is your sting? Did we not have joy here 2 days ago, Friday? Death was in the room. Had a casket right here. Our beloved Christy Jacks was there. Oh, that one. That hits hard for so many of us. And yet, let me tell you, and I know everybody was here that was here would say, there was much joy in the room. Joy in God's unfailing love. That we could feel, it was palpable, it was just, God was present. Joy in his salvation, knowing that this moment, Christy, who never walked a step in any day of her 47 years of life, is up there dancing and singing. That is our hope. That is our, see how joy is wrapped up with hope and it gives us peace. Death might have been in the room, but I tell you, the words of the Apostle Paul were there. Death, where is your sting? Death, where is your victory? We have the victory. We are more than conquerors because we are in Christ Jesus and he is in us. His Spirit is inside of us. And you might think that this is just humanly speaking insane. Right, humanly speaking it would be, but we're not speaking of something human. We're speaking of something very divine of God. So even in the midst of persecution, a martyr can be led to his or her death singing, praising, rejoicing, because I really believe that in that moment the Spirit of God is not just inside of them, but all of a sudden overtakes them and just is magnified inside of them, and all of a sudden, saturated with the Spirit, out comes joy and singing. That's how powerful joy is. Like that baseball bat just bashing death to death, obliterating it. You want to have that kind of joy? It really is simple. Walk with Jesus. Walk with him. Get tight with him. Develop such an intimate relationship with him. How do you do that? Get into his word. Get into prayer. Keep coming to church. Learning. I mean, just and as you grow closer to Jesus and as his Spirit keeps growing inside of you, that joy will be there. It'll be powerful. So I got some reflection questions. Great lunch conversation you could have. Do you experience God's joy even during difficult times? What pleasures are you seeking as a substitute for God's joy? I don't know if you noticed on our bulletin this morning, at the very top of the first page, a great quote by C.S. Lewis. You have to read that and then answer that question. What pleasures are you seeking as a substitute for God's joy? Ouch. And finally, would you give your life more fully to God that his joy might increase in your life? What sacrifices need to be made to do that? And I'm talking about sacrifices in your schedule. Let's get practical here. Brass tacks. What needs to be off of my plate so that on my plate I can put more time with God, more time in church, more time with Christian friends? Where can I block it into my schedule? I leave that for your lunch conversation, all right? And God bless you.